Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 294 of Geek Town Radio. I am back this week with Daryl. How are you doing?
Hey everybody, I'm doing great. Glad to be
wonderful.
Back.
So what have you been doing the last few weeks?
I've started a new job, so my TV watching has gone down quite a bit. So I have been continuing The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Obviously over on Disney Plus. This is definitely more my style of Disney Plus Marvel offering when compared to WandaVision.
Right.
It was the penultimate episode last time. I don't think you've had a bad episode. I think it's done an excellent job of creating this world and giving us a much better look at the post-return world of Marvel, which is, I think, really nice, and the consequences that comes from that. It's also shown me that Marvel can, you know, do something more than explosions. the writing, you do laugh, but it's either explosions in space, explosions on the Earth, explosions in another world. But now we see that they can tell like an interesting story that hits on the nature of war, how soldiers are used and abused, getting into immigration and racism. So it was an eye-opener in terms of writing that I wouldn't necessarily expect on a Disney Plus show.
Right, yeah. I am really enjoying it. I think it does feel a bit more like it's a sort of movie chopped up into bits than maybe WandaVision did. But that's not necessarily a negative. It's just the style of how it is. I think I could have easily, if they'd released this all at once, binged through it in like one or two sittings without any problem at all. Whereas WandaVision, I think, worked better as an episodic thing. But that's not a criticism of the writing of the show. I think the show itself is being really interesting and really good. I've been enjoying it. It is far more traditional MCU, I think, than WandaVision maybe was. And I mean, I still like WandaVision for its wonderful weirdness, but I can see how that would maybe slightly more difficult to get into for some people. But it's been really good, Falcon and Winter Soldier. I think, yeah, we can see where it's going. Like you said, the stuff about the PTSD of the soldiers and the sort of chewing up and spitting out of the various different soldiers in that show. It's really interesting, I think, how they've handled that.
Okay, and my next thing is Freaky, which is a horror film starring Vince Vaughn and Catherine Newton.
Yes.
Depending on your age, you might know that Freaky is a reference to Freaky Friday, which had a couple of versions in the past. Basically, it's a body swapping.
Yeah.
It was a body swapping comedy. This is a comedy horror, and unfortunately sort of fails in both parts. It's just not that interesting.
Oh dear.
I think funnier comedy horrors that we've seen recently, say like Happy Death Day, light years ahead of this. It just works. This one just seems to be like a set of set joke pieces and not a lot to collect them.
Right.
So yeah, it's not great.
Oh, interesting. It's from the guy that did the paranormal movies. He's the director of it, by the looks of things.
Yeah, that's not really much of a...
Yeah. Oh, who happens to be the son of the late Michael Landon, who was the... what was that show that he did? Highway to Heaven.
Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, Little House on the Prairie. Yeah. Highway to Heaven, yes.
Yeah, I definitely would not recommend it as a watch. I think, yeah, there's a lot of good quality horror out there, even good quality teen horror out there, so definitely look elsewhere and have some fun with that. But this one, no.
It's got some big... I mean, it's a Blumhouse thing. It's Jason Blum producing.
Yeah, Blumhouse has usually done a lot better. It's got Catherine Newton, that's a lot of star power in front of it, but yeah, it just really doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, it got Bear McCreary in to do the score, who's like an uber composer as well, so you know, hopefully the music's at least good.
Battlestar Galactica's music, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Bear McCreary's one of these. He does Outlander, Walking Dead, Battlestar, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., God of War. He's one of those guys that there's a whole army of things that he's done. Yeah. The Sea, he's done Black Mirror, Black Sails, Da Vinci's Demons. Yeah, I mean, a whole load of things Ben McCready's done. So the music should at least be decent anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame, but it was interesting to at least try horror.
Yeah.
So yeah, the last thing I've been to catch up on is Invincible, which is now up to, this is episode 6. So this week could be episode 7, and it's only 8 episodes in the season. Some of the best superheroing on TV.
Oh, excellent.
And it's only a shame that more people aren't watching it, because according to people who know more about these things than I do, it's not necessarily getting that many eyes on it.
That's a shame.
Invincible is a adaptation of the comic book of the same name, written by the people behind Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Robert Kirkman and co. It centers around a high school student, Mark Grayson, whose father is Omni-Man, the most powerful superhero in the world. It sort of starts when he himself finds out that he has powers, and it got sort of leads on from there. It's sort of every origin story you've seen before. You see bits of Spider-Man, you see bits of the X-Men in it. It's a whole thing of trying to, you know, be a student, juggle a girlfriend while having superpowers. Well, the difference here is, as you've seen from the end of the first episode, and it's all over YouTube, so if you don't want to listen to it, turn away now, but the ending of thing is all over YouTube, and it comes up the minute I open it. As we see in the beginning, now that all the people for spoilers are gone, at the end of the first episode, for some reason, which in episode 6 isn't clear, Omni-Man massacres the superhero teams. They're the Justice League or the Avengers of that world. Just massacres them in one of the most glorious bits of animation I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And we don't know why. And it's sort of, that's on the back burner, because up to now, only his wife knows or has been suspected of something wrong. And we sort of move. And so that's how this show goes, in these two prongs, which is, when is everybody else going to find out what Omni-Man did?
Yeah.
And how is Mark going to handle being a superhero? And it's just those two things. And it's a really over the top world. There's all these supervillains with various superpowers and stuff. You've got alien invaders from another dimension come in.
Yes.
They go to Mars, and you get this sort of street level evil doers that they have to take out. So it's all this sort of hyper superhero world. And into that, you get him go in there. And at the beginning, he thought, oh, this is amazing. This is going to be fun. And he starts to understand what being a superhero really means.
Yeah. I saw the first few episodes of it, because they released, did they release the first three at once. So I was in the first three, and I completely forgot it was on there and haven't been back and watched the rest of them yet. So it was only when I saw
like
them.
You. People like you.
Yeah, it is. It's people like you, me. Dave. But I really enjoyed the first three episodes of it, and I just absolutely forgot that it was on there. So I need to go back and watch the rest of it, because I did really enjoy those opening three episodes. I mean, yes, it's an animation, but it is definitely not a child animation. It is definitely an adult animation. That
is described as an adult animation.
Yes.
And not just, you know, the usual thing of having dirty jokes. It's the violence is real. And people get punched with superpowers. You know, people get very badly injured.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's incredibly violent, but the animation is really beautifully done, if that's the right word for it. But it's wonderfully put together, and I really enjoyed those opening few episodes. So I am going to go back and watch the rest of it. It's something I'll sit down and sort of catch up with. It's a shame if that's not finding an audience, because I do hope they bring
really
it back.
I really hope that, you know, it does get the renewal, because it is a long-ish story. I know the story just because I can remember when Invincible sort of came out and started running, you used to get all these spoilers on Instagram, because I don't always end up looking through comics on my Explore page. So I found out most of what happens from there. So if you were planning on maybe buying the books and finding out, don't buy the books until you watch at least the whole of this season.
Yeah.
If not the second one, if it gets announced, because this moves very slowly compared to the books. But yeah, it feels like you got a load of brains together who sort of looked at the last 60 years of superheroes and really decided to like write an ode to it while being a little bit more realistic about how things are.
Yeah.
It's a great, great show, and you should definitely go watch it. That's available free on Amazon Prime if you have it.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend that as well, because I did really enjoy those first three episodes. That will be something I will do this week and go and watch the rest of it, because I completely forgot it was on there.
And this will be the penultimate episode this Friday, then obviously the last episode next week.
Yeah, good. That's something to look forward to, because some of my regular weekly shows have kind of dropped off a bit, so I can go back and watch that now. One of the things I am starting watching again is Fear the Walking Dead, because that returned for the second half of the sixth season, I think we're on now. Annoyingly, they killed off one of my favourite characters. I won't say exactly who, but it's they have this annoying habit of killing people off on that show. And I always
heard that Fear the Walking Dead was a lot less likely to do that. So I thought this character stuck around for a long time.
Well, none of the original cast are there, so I would say completely the opposite. I mean, the entire premise of Fear the Walking Dead when it started was
a family, wasn't it?
It was a family, and it was set much earlier. You actually saw the start of the outbreak. And it was the start of the outbreak happening. You saw people first starting to turn. It was set in an urban setting, and it was about them getting out and how they started to survive. That lasted a few episodes, and then they entirely dropped that concept, and it sort of turned into another kind of version of The Walking Dead with people in the wilderness.
It's like The Walking Dead LA, instead of NCIS New Orleans and NCIS Los Angeles.
That's sort of what it was originally, and then it turned into this sort of other thing where you were still following this family, but they moved around quite a lot, and I think it did start in LA actually, and then they kind of moved them out into sort of the middle of nowhere, and it ends up you being in sort of dirty back roads and woods and all that sort of thing again. As you've gone through the seasons, they've steadily killed off members of that family until now they have a completely different cast. There's none of the original cast, I don't think. Well, maybe there's one. There might be one person left out of the original cast. Lenny James is basically the lead on it now, who was a character from The Walking Dead, and they moved him over onto Fear the Walking Dead. They've done that with a couple of characters and moved them around. So Lenny James really is the leader of that group these days. But it is feeling a bit of a repetitive of some of the Walking Dead storylines, where they meet another group who is much bigger and have got much more control over a larger area and are better organized. So it ends up with Morgan's group kind of being split up, and you end up in that situation where nobody's got scenes together, and he's sort of trying to find them, and he's trying to bring them all back to one place, which is the same quagmire that they kind of got themselves in some of the worst seasons of The Walking Dead. It's interesting. There was a point in the middle where they hit a nice point. They pick up on this idea of leaving care packages for people along the roadside. So if people need something, you know, they can keep them. And they started building this sort of community of truck stops and things where people could get supplies and stuff. And that was all quite interesting. But again, that was an idea that they eventually abandoned, and then they went on and had to bring in this kind of big group that was going to cause problems. I don't know. It's slightly annoying the direction that maybe they've gone in it. I mean, I am still enjoying it. I know Matt, who podcasts weekly on this, has a real issue with this season and where they've gone with it. But I'm watching it for the first time as it goes out now, because it goes out on AMC in the UK, but you can actually go and buy it off Amazon Video. It will eventually come onto Amazon Prime, but if you want to watch it like next day, it comes onto Amazon Video, so you can watch it the day after. But you've got to pay for that. It's like £20 or something for the season. You can do it that way, or you can wait a few more months and it will come onto Amazon Prime eventually. But it's not as bad as The Walking Dead got in some of its worst episodes. I would definitely say that. But there are annoying things with where they've gone with the story this time around, I would say. So I'm keeping up with that at the moment. Falcon and Winter Soldier, which we talked about, I'm watching that. Mythic Quest popped back for one episode. This is the Apple series, which is set in a games company, which is a sort of World of Warcraft type games development company run by a complete narcissist who is the director and creative visionary for this whole thing, but he's kind of a bit of an idiot as well, and he's a complete narcissist. The end of the first season, it ends up with him co-sharing the creative director role with somebody else in the company, and this is the first episode really back where they're both in that role. But it was a special to sort of welcome everybody back to the office, because they did another special which was shot during the pandemic, which was actually beautifully, beautifully done, and showed how people were sort of dealing with the pandemic and the strain that it was put on people being stuck in isolation and that sort of thing. And that it was really quite heart-wrenching in places. They did a really wonderful job with that episode. So it was nice to see them kind of do this and then come back to the office and do something with that. What they did for this special was it was a sort of a LARPing episode, because there is an event in the game which is about darkness falling across the land, and they have these battle tournaments where somebody wins the right to be able to try and pull a sword out of a stone and bring light back to the land. Obviously, with them all returning to the office for the first time, they're doing a sort of cosplay version of this in the office as a sort of party, as a sort of welcome back thing. So you've got them all dressed up and they're kind of battling each other, and it's just very fun and very funny. Really, really love that show. It's hilariously funny. It's from the guys that made Always Sunny in Philadelphia, so it's got a great writing credit behind it. They're just superb. If you like things like Silicon Valley and that sort of show, and you're a gamer, it is one that's well worth watching. The first season's all up there now. Second season comes back next month, but there are a couple of special episodes, and they dropped this one special episode of Mythic Quest this week. So if you've been watching it and didn't know that had popped up, that you can go and watch that episode right now. The other thing to pop up this week, in fact today actually, was the trailer for Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, which is coming later on this year. Do you watch this, I'm assuming?
I saw it. Yeah. I had to, yeah. I love martial arts films, TV shows.
What did you think of this? Because, I mean, you probably have more familiarity with the actors involved than I did.
Although I know Tim Lu because he's been on one of Canada's best-known and well-loved shows. I didn't really know much about it before his announcement, but I really loved the trailer. The fight choreography, which is the most important thing, because bad choreography will ruin your whole week. It looks great. It doesn't tell too much of the story other than like simple things like he was pretty much normal for the last 10 years or so. But before that, he was doing a Bruce Wayne in terms of training.
Yes.
It does look great. I know it's a bit of a globetrotter in terms of where they're filming it into lots of different places around the world. It looks great. The fight scenes look great. It looks like he's really been well prepared for this role, which doesn't necessarily always happen for Marvel martial arts based productions. So I'm really happy about it. Obviously a bit unfortunate that, you know, like everything else, got moved back a bit because of COVID and various other problems.
Yeah.
But yeah, September is great. So I'll be in the theatre, maybe.
Yeah, September 3rd, that's due to land. I do wonder whether Shang-Chi would have actually come out as a film had they not already used Iron Fist in it and not gone down particularly well on that Netflix series.
I think they would have, just because the fact that Shang-Chi is an Asian character.
Yes, there is
whereas
that.
Iron Fist is white.
Yes, there is that as well. Shang-Chi, not really a character, I know, but been around since 73 he was first invented. Raised to become a deadly assassin by his father, who is the immortal crime lord and sorcerer Fu Manchu. However, when he becomes aware of his father's evil, he defects during his first assignment, teaming up with his father's enemies in an attempt to bring him down. That's the book plot. Some of that, from what you can gather from the trailer, looks like that. Yeah, looks similar to that. Yeah. He has been involved in the Avengers. He's had involvement with MI6, Heroes for Hire, Secret Avengers, and Marvel Knights have been the groups that he's been part of. Movie's got Simu Lin plays Shang-Chi, and then Tony Leung from Infernal Affairs, Awkwafina from Awkwafina is Nora from Queens, Michelle Yeoh is in there as well from Discovery, and Ronnie Chan from Crazy Rich Agents and The Daily Show, he's also in there as well. So yeah, I mean, the cast looks good, looks interesting. I'm interested in that one. I mean, looked like it was quite good fun. I don't massively do martial arts things usually, but you know, I think that's that could be worth a look.
It does seem like a good year for martial arts. Obviously Kung Fu is tearing up roots over in the US at the moment.
Yes.
Which was definitely a surprise to me, but it's great.
Yeah, I saw you managed to see a few episodes of that. I haven't actually seen any of that yet, but that's one that I'm quite interested by. It seems to be doing quite well. The trailer's up on the website if you want to go and have a look at it, and obviously it's all over YouTube and everywhere else. I'm sure you can find it.
Oh yeah.
So that's all the stuff we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So I'm going to start off the TV and film news with a quick correction from what I said last week. I mentioned Big Sky last week, and the information I had at the time said it was going to continue straight on, which would seem to be logical given that, you know, we finished the previous episode last week, it started back in the US this week, and you would have thought they would have just carried it straight on. But no, they've decided apparently that they're not doing that. The information that I was given was wrong, and they're now bringing it back on the 21st of May, which seems to be the week after it's ended in the US, which seems like an odd decision to me, given that it's an ABC show. Why wouldn't you run it next day over here, particularly when there are big spoilers in it and stuff?
I think it's probably because it's two different channels, and that's why.
Yeah, but I mean, it's Star over here, which is Disney. It's ABC in the US, which is Disney. So,
yeah, but they're still different. They're still different things, and I guess ABC is the one who pay, is probably the ones who pay more for it.
Yeah, I mean, but it seems a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, it's hardly the only example of all the ridiculous things that happen in TV programming.
No, I mean,
especially when they have like analogous channels here and there, and we still have to wait for ages and ages.
Yes, you're entirely right. That is true. It's just, it does seem a bit weird when the one company has total control over both the network and the streaming service internationally, because it's not like it's going on Star in the US, because they don't have Star in the US. So, you know, if it was that, you know, a thing about it was an international streaming service, but it isn't. It's a streaming service outside of the US which are airing it. That just seemed a little odd to me. But yes, 21st of May, they have said it is coming back. So we've got a little bit of a wait for the part two, but it will be returning for the second part. Sorry about that. That was an error on my part. Cancellations, though. Castlevania, they've said, is ending for its fourth season. That's on Netflix. I don't know whether you saw any of that based on a video game animated series.
Nope, never saw it.
Not one that I've seen. And Save Me, the Lenny James series, he revealed that he is working and writing on a third season right now, but he suspects that will be the final season. Still not guaranteed that that will actually happen from the way it was written. He's basically said he's writing a third season now, and it sounds like Sky are interested in picking up a third season. So it looks like a third season is coming, but he has said that that will probably round out the story. And that's fine. It's entirely Lenny James' creation. If he wants to do that and Sky want to buy it, then great. In terms of renewals, CBS dropped a load of renewals. Five shows they've picked up. Blue Bloods is coming back. Bull, NCIS, Magnum PI, and SWAT have all been renewed. Ones that are still in the balance right now is Be Positive, which is a Chuck Lorre comedy which hasn't aired over here yet. Clarice, NCIS Los Angeles, SEAL Team, and legal drama All Rise. The Unicorn, which is a comedy, and United States of Al, which is a comedy. So those are all still haven't gone either way yet. They haven't either been renewed or cancelled. The other stuff has either been cancelled or renewed. The one I'm worried about there really is SEAL Team. I strongly suspect that NCIS LA will probably get renewed, given that they have definitely cancelled NCIS New Orleans, and I can't see them cancelling two of them in one season. That would seem a little strange.
Yeah, that would leave like a big gap.
Yeah, I know they are supposed to be making NCIS away, although that isn't confirmed yet. So there is potentially another NCIS stepping
in. Yeah, that'll take at least another season to start. So it would make sense they would probably give NCIS one last season and then have Hawaii replace it. I would suspect. I obviously can't say for sure.
Yeah.
CBS do like to have their go-to procedurals locked and ready. Which is why it was so surprising when they decided to end New Orleans.
Yeah. And I mean, SEAL Team, I am slightly concerned about, because its ratings are actually higher, I think, than SWAT. And SWAT got renewed. However, I suspect it's a rather more expensive show to film, maybe, because of there's going to be more location shooting. You know, they've got a lot more technical equipment, I suspect, in that than maybe they do in SWAT. I'm a little concerned about that. And David Boreanaz had been posting things about Renew the Show, which is not a great sign because he's one of the exec producers on it. So he would know which way the wind is kind of blowing. So I am a little concerned that SEAL Team may be on the chopping block, but the others haven't aired over here. So, you know, things like Be Positive, All Rise, The Unicorn, United States of Al, none of those have actually aired over here. So don't really mind either way with those. In terms of other renewals, Ginny and Georgia, they've announced has been renewed for season two on Netflix. Apparently there was some controversy over some race thing in season one, but that completely bypassed me.
Oh God, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. And yeah, that was a mess.
Something about Taylor Swift got involved. I really had this completely
That was a different mess, but I'm not quite as bad as the thing.
The race thing, right. right.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Despite a rocky first season by the sides of it, that is returning for a second season. Bridgerton has been renewed for seasons 3 and 4 on Netflix, which I don't think comes as a huge shock to anybody, given what a massive hit that first season was.
Indeed.
So much complaining about the fact that he's the Duke that's not going to be in the second season. And they're based on books. He's not in the second book. So, you know, I mean...
I tried to explain that to someone. I just gave up in the end.
Yeah, and I mean, I know they've rewritten stuff, and they did actually. They did say to him, "Well, we can put you in some of the second season, but the story follows the books, and it doesn't revolve around those characters. Their story's kind of done in the first season." So they had said to him, apparently, "Well, you can be in the second season if you want," and he was like, "Yeah, no, I'd rather not have to commit to that if I'm not going to have a big enough role for it." And I can entirely get that. That makes perfect sense. He's a hugely popular actor at this point. It's done him really a huge amount of good. I don't think there was any bitterness about it. It's just that's not the focus of the second book. Therefore, he doesn't need to be there. So yes, but they've renewed it for a third and fourth season. So that will be coming back. Call the Midwife renewed for another 2 seasons as well, which will take it up to season 13, because they'd already renewed it for 1 season anyway, because I think the one that's going out right now is season 10. So it's got 3 more seasons to air, but they've renewed it for another 2. So that's going to take it up to season 13. So that will be back. Warrior renewed for a third season. I've got to catch up with this because everybody tells me it's great.
Yes, you do.
And
it's great storytelling.
Yeah, everybody
it
says
it's
wonderful.
Just a martial arts. It's great storytelling.
Yeah. So that's one I do need to catch up with. I'll have to go and look, see whether it's still kicking around on the catch up things. So that's been renewed for a third season. That will be coming back. Love, Death and Robots. They announced a season 2 air date for that. This is this adults animated, weird, quirky little sort of 15, well, anything from like 7 to sort of 20 minute cartoon series. And it's David Fincher, I think, that he's the sort of overall like mastermind behind it. They announced season 2 is coming on May 14th, but they've also announced that there is a third season of Love, Death and Robots coming in 2022. The first season out went out in 2019. So there was a long gap between seasons 1 and 2, and then there's going to be a shorter gap between that and the third season. It's really interesting, though, because it's not like one thing. It is an anthology series, so every episode is different, and every episode is given to a different artist. So it's bits of 3D animation, some of it's sci-fi, some of it's fantasy, some of it's kind of just weird strangeness. It's 3D, it's 2D, it's a whole mix of animations. It's really good, that series. And if you don't like one episode, go and watch the next one, because they really are completely different from one episode to another. It's a really interesting collection of stuff, that but that's Love, Death and Robots, and the second season of that comes on May 14th. And Downton Abbey, they've announced, is returning for a second movie this Christmas on the 22nd of December. They've already set the date. That is going to be returning to cinemas for another movie. So if you're a fan of Downton, then you'll be able to go to the cinema hopefully this Christmas and watch that. I have to say, I don't think I've ever seen an episode of Downton Abbey.
No, I can't say I have either. I'm
sure I have my Englishness revoked for that, but yes. In terms of pickups, The Rookie Season 3 has got an air date. That's coming on the 29th of April. That is back on Sky Witness. They announced today that Emily Deschanel is playing Nathan Fillion's ex-wife on the show, apparently, which is sort
really?
Of... Yes, apparently so.
Emily Deschanel.
Her yeah. of Bones, yes.
Yeah.
She is playing his ex-wife in the new season, apparently. So there's a sort of slight kind of Buffy Angel connection there, because she used to work with David Boreanaz, and he's all part of that kind of that universe. So that's kind of interesting. But she will be playing his ex-wife on the show. I think she's only guesting. I don't think she's in for any particular length of time. But I thought that was an interesting bit of casting. But yes, Rookie Season 3 starts over here on 29th of April at 9 p.m. on Sky Witness. And now,
great show.
Yeah, really good show. I really like that. Just very good. Men in Kilts finally has landed a UK air date. This is Stars Play. It's coming to on the 9th of May. So many people up in arms about this because it's Sam Heughan and Graham McTavish from Outlander, but the entire thing was shot in Scotland. I mean, the entire premise of Men in Kilts is it's a road trip around Scotland with 2 actors from the show Outlander, and then didn't have a UK air date for ages because it's been on for ages in the US, and it just didn't go out over here. And there were people, Outlander fans, and just people that were kind of miffed that it was a show that was shot in the UK and didn't go out over here, kind of just complaining about it. So it has now got a premiere date. Season one is dropping on the 29th of May on Starzplay UK. I might give that a watch because I quite like Outlander, and travel logs like that can be quite good fun, particularly with those two guys. I think they're quite entertaining.
You know, travel logs has got to be like top three British show type.
Yes.
And we really do love a good travel log.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Of course we do. We love a travel log over here. Heading back over onto Disney Plus, they have announced that Marvel MODOK is coming to Star in the UK. The reason it's on Star and not on normal Disney Plus is because the rather adult content of the stop motion animation of it. For those of you who don't know about this series, it follows megalomaniac supervillain MODOK, who has long pursued his dream of one day conquering the world. But after years of setbacks and failures fighting on Earth's mightiest heroes, MODOK has run his evil organization AIM into the ground. As did as AIM's leader, whilst also dealing with a crumbling marriage and family life, the mental organism designed only for killing is set to confront his greatest challenge yet. It looks wonderfully silly. It's from Jordan Bloom, who is one of the people behind American Dad and Patton Oswalt. Patton does the voice for MODOK as well. It just looks like it's going to be wonderful fun. It's got Melissa Frumo from Brooklyn Nine-Nine in there. Amy Garcia from Lucifer does one of the voices. Wendy Leiden Covey from The Goldbergs. Ben Schwartz from Parks and Rec. Beck Bennett from Saturday Night Live. John Daly from I'm Dining Up Here. And Sam Richardson from Veep are the rest of the voice cast for that. 21st of May, that is landing on Disney Plus. It's actually going out the same day that it goes out on Hulu in the US. So that is going to be a worldwide release, they have confirmed, which is great. It looks like it could be quite a fun series, that. I'm quite looking forward to that one landing. There was one other little bit of news which popped up, which I'm not going to spend much time on, but Secret Invasion, you know, the new TV series that is one of the many, many, many Marvel live action shows that they've announced. Apparently, Olivia Colman is circling a role in that, because you can't make any TV show without Olivia bloody Colman getting in the way somewhere along the way.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was wondering if that was a Marvel Secret Invasion or not, or something else that had the same name, but that's interesting. I think she'll do great.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm joking. I do love Olivia Colman. I think she's wonderful. She is in a lot of different things, though, and it seems like a rule that if your franchise goes on long enough, Olivia Colman has to pop up in it somewhere. She's fantastic. I have no idea who she's playing. Nobody has any idea who she's actually playing in that, because it being quite early in the development and Marvel being Marvel are not releasing any details whatsoever, other than we know it's based around the Secret Invasion storyline and it's going to have Samuel L. Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn in it. So that's it at the moment. But yes, so don't know whether that is true or not, but those are the rumours flying around that Olivia Colman may be taking a role in that show. Sticking with Disney Plus, though, they have ordered three new UK scripted originals. They're aiming to apparently produce something like 50 international shows to come onto the Disney Plus channel at some point over the next few years. So they're planning on a whole bunch of different shows, scripted and non-scripted stuff, but not all coming from America. It's shot at various places around the world. So these are three that are being developed from the UK market. The first one is The Ballad of Renegade Nell, which is a swashbuckling adventure series set in the 18th century, written by the BAFTA-winning Sally Wainwright, who did Gentleman Jack and Happy Valley. And it's from Lookout Point, who did Gentleman Jack and The Suitable Boy. When she's framed for murder, Nell Jackson is forced into a life of highway robbery along with her two orphaned sisters, Roxanne and George. Aided by a plucky spirit called Billy Blind, Nell realises that fate has put her on the wrong side of the law for a reason, and a reason much bigger than she could ever imagine, a reason that goes right up to Queen Anne and beyond, to struggle for power raging across the battlefields of Europe. That's the first one. Sally Wainwright's a great writer. I know Gentleman Jack went down extremely well and Happy Valley was quite popular. So it's a swashbuckling adventure. Seems like a good sort of Disney Plus series, I think.
I'm interested to see the casting.
Yes, that sort of thing will, I think, rest on casting. Presumably it's going to be a British cast if it's, you know, billed as a British TV show. So we'll have to see with that. But that's called The Ballad of Renegade Nell. And that will be a Disney Plus series. The other two are original series for Star. One's called Culprits, which comes from acclaimed filmmaker Jay Blakeson, who did I Care a Lot and The Disappearance of Alice Creed. It's a series that follows what happens after a heist when a crew have gone their separate ways but are being targeted by a killer one by one, which is an interesting setup for something. Exec produced by Stephen Garrett, who did The Undoing and The Night Manager. It's produced by Monkite Williams, who did Killing Eve. Interesting team again behind that. I think that sounds like it's going to be a sort of dark comedy sort of thing. Maybe have something of Killing Eve about it, possibly that one. But that one's called Culprits. And the last one's called Extraordinary, which is a Star original by actor, writer and comedian Emma Moran and production company Sid Gentle Films, who are the people behind Killing Eve and The Durrells. The story follows Jen, a young self-aware woman who lives in a world where everybody has a superpower, except her. It's a comedy about being young and finding your feet in a confusing world when all you'll ever be is ordinary. A celebration of the anti-superhero giving people permission to embrace their general okayness. I think that sounds like it's going to be a very fun and silly idea for a TV show. I like the things that sort of take superhero genre stuff and flip them around a little bit. So the idea of her being the only one that isn't a superhero in that sort of superhero world, I think is quite an interesting one.
Definitely, I think it. Well, I just hope it doesn't go the way of that Vanessa Hudgens one.
Right, yes. Was that the DC one?
Yes.
Yeah.
With Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't Damage Control. It was the other one. Yes. I can't remember.
Was it Powerless?
Powerless, yes, I think. Because Damage Control was the one that Marvel had in the works and then dropped. And then Powerless was the DC one, because they both have these agencies that sweep up after all the damage that's done by the superheroes. That was the idea of it. And it was just an insurance company, wasn't it, set in the world of DC. So hopefully it won't go that way. But I think Emma Moran, quite a talented comedian. So I think that could be quite an interesting one to watch out for. But that's called Extraordinary. The heist one is called Culprits. And the swashbuckling one is called The Ballad of Renegade Nell. Don't know when these are landing. They're all going to be UK produced and they're all coming to, Renegade Nell coming to Disney Plus, the other two coming to Star on Disney Plus. Moving on to other news, over on Netflix, they've announced that there is a new live-action Gundam film coming to the streaming service from Jordan Voight-Roberts, who has done things like The Kings of Summer and Kong Skull Island. It's been written by Brian K. Vaughan, who's a phenomenal comic book writer. I thought this was kind of interesting. Do you know much about big battling robots? I know this is definitely Beck's areas of expertise. I don't know how much you're into this stuff.
I do know big battling robots. I've probably watched about 10 or 11 series of Gundam. It's been going back since the 70s, I believe.
Yes.
That's when it first came out. So it's interesting. There has been another live action one.
Right.
I think that one was definitely Western.
Right.
I can't remember what it's called, but yeah, it's probably like 2010 or something like that. But this is interesting. I mean, they really stick to it. I'd be surprised, because making something like Gundam, to make it well, it would not be cheap.
Yeah. I mean, it is a film. It's not a series. So there's that. They're not releasing exactly what the live action film is going to be. For those that don't know of what Gundam is, it was a mecha anime launched in 79. It's hugely, hugely popular. It's a hard sci-fi space opera which focuses as much on the characters as it does on the mecha. What sets it apart from a lot of the other big giant battling robot animes is its realistic portrayal of war and conflict, treating the mecha more like weapons of war rather than evil entities in themselves. So it's not like Transformers, where you have Decepticons that are kind of smash, kill everything, you know, that sort of thing. They are the big kind of robots, and they are like tanks. They're utility vehicles, essentially, for the armies. And it focuses a lot more on the sort of humanity side of things than the robots necessarily themselves. The original Gundam series is set in Universal Century, an era in which humanity's growing population has led people to emigrate to space colonies. Eventually, the people living in these colonies seek their autonomy and launch a war of independence against the people living on Earth. Through tragedy and discord arising from the human conflict, not only the maturation of their main character, but also the intentions of enemies and surrounding people are sensitively depicted. The battles in the story, in which the character pilot robots known as mobile suits, are wildly popular. So Brian K. Vaughan, as I mentioned at the top, is penning the script. If you recognise that name but can't place it, he is the person behind such comic books as Why the Last Man, Runaways, Paper Girls, Saga, which is an immense epic story. And he also worked on TV series like Lost and was the showrunner for Under the Dome as well. I still would love somebody to make Saga into a TV series. I don't think it'll ever happen because I think it's somewhat unfilmable as a TV series, but that is an amazing comic book if you've ever read that. So given that he has some experience of doing kind of weird and big apocalyptic saga things, I think it's going to be interesting to see how he takes to this and writes a Gundam story. But I don't know. It's weird that they didn't sort of get one of the people that have previously written stuff to do it, maybe. That is slightly strange, but I think he's a solid pair of hands.
It's interesting because the only thing I would say is that obviously Gundam is very much a series. So it's very much a generally two-season run, so like, 48 episodes or so. So compressing that into a movie is a tall order. I'll say that much.
Yes, that is a bit of a worry as well. Trying to compress something which, you know, is known for the fact that it deals quite sensitively with the characters and stuff. And there is a danger when you're trying to compress it into a movie that it does just end up being two big robots beating the crap out of each other. And that's not going to work. That's just sticking the Gundam name on something. So yes, we'll wait and see what comes out of that. But it is coming. That has been picked up for production. And the last story we've got involves Legends of Tomorrow and Dominic Purcell. So Dominic Purcell, who plays Heatwave Mick Rory on the show, took to Instagram and put out a post saying he was walking away from Legends of Tomorrow. Deal isn't done. I have no interest, whatever they throw on the corporate level. He then kind of went on to talk about it's time to move on, see how things unfold. Katie Lotz and Nick Zano will look after the kids coming through. He does seem to then start to take a dig at Warner Brothers a bit. They need education. They are a number. Teach them not to rely on the loyalty from the studio. The studio doesn't care. The actors worth effort and talent must give them confidence to question authority. Much love to all. It's not lost how very fortunate I am. He did then go back and delete that post afterwards. Then,
as we know, the internet's forever.
Yes, of course. At that point, that story got picked up, I mean, by quite a lot of people, including us.
Funny that.
Yeah, because, you know, and a lot of people were speculating that sounds very much like he's had an argument with the studio, because from what he said there, it sounds like he's had an argument with the studio. He later went back, deleted that post, and made a new statement, which opened with, "Nobody has forced me to make this statement. God, I wish everybody would chill out. There was expletives in here, which I'm editing out. Why are people losing their minds because I'm leaving the show? Yes, my tone was heavy and straight to the point. I use cuss words because I do, and I'm Australian, and it's who I am. Do I have a beef with the studio at Warner Brothers? No. Yes, I also said they don't care. That's not correct. Of course they do. It's just me being emotional and over stuff. Uh-huh. We work all in this big machine. Sometimes stuff happens. It's life. Here are the facts. I'm leaving Legends of Tomorrow on a full-time basis. I will come back periodically with a handshake deal with my boss, Phil Klemmer. I've always had tremendous relationship with the bosses and at the studio at Warner Brothers. Peter Roth and I have had a tremendous working relationship, and I was super sad to hear where he was retiring. My wording was aggressive in tone because sometimes I get frustrated and annoyed. It's been a very long, heavy year locked up in Vancouver for 9 months without going home. Who doesn't and who hasn't lashed out? I'm human, so for God's sake, chill on. The Dominic Purcell and the students are beefing stuff is total BS. It's simply not true. The press always turn stuff into what it's not. I mean, yeah, that is true to a certain extent. But given what that first statement was, Dominic, sorry.
I think, that's an unrelated statement. That's like saying the sky is blue. Yes, that doesn't have anything to do with the rant you just went on.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can't blame the press for that. I'm sorry. Based on exactly what you said, it sounded like you had a beef in the studio. But anyway, I understand you were upset. You were ranting. Fine. So the upshot of this is yes, he is leaving the show. His contract was up at the end of season 6. He's done a deal to come back in season 7 for a number of episodes. So he will be around in season 7, but he is not going to be a series regular. That is the situation. So season 6, which is the season which is due to go out fairly soon, it's 2nd of May, it launches in the US. It will be probably summer over here. He will be in that season, and he will be in the 7th season as well, but he's only going to be in periodically in the 7th season. He's not going to be a regular character. So that's fine. There's basically, yes, he's leaving, but there is no kind of big trauma. There was no big fallout, all that sort of stuff. It's just Dominic being Dominic, basically, by the sides of it.
It's a shame because the last season really teed up his daughter, and that was a great storyline.
Yeah.
And one thing, like, there's absolutely no argument is that Mick had nothing in terms of storylines for a good few seasons.
Yes, that is absolutely true.
They had him doing the writing thing, but that really was like a good few seasons ago.
Yeah, and I mean, and then they've passed that off as well now. So
yeah,
the new season, which is coming up fairly soon, follows on straight after the last season and starts with Sarah going missing, which is what we abducted by aliens. So there are aliens in the new season, which we saw at the end of last season. So it's fine. It's Dob being Dob. Yes, he is leaving the show, but I mean, he's one of the original cast members. He's one of, I think, only two, because there's only Katie Lotz, who plays Sarah, is the only other original cast member still left in there, isn't she, I think, now?
Nick is as well. He was in the pilot, wasn't he?
No, Nick joined later. Nick Zanna.
I thought he was in the pilot, as he was the one who went to Oliver Queen, and that's how it got started. Was that the second season?
That was the second season.
Ah, it was the second season, fair enough.
Yeah, Steele wasn't there at the start.
Oh, okay.
He's been in a while, but yeah. So there's no big trauma. It's literally his contract up. He's decided that he doesn't want to do it anymore. And, you know, he's done 6 seasons of the show. I think that's absolutely fair. Move on and do something else. Unlikely to be another season of Prison Break, which I know is what everybody wants him to do. But yes, that's not going to happen. So we've been over that already, and Wentworth won't do it either. So, you know, that's fine. I'd like to see the pair of them back doing something together again. That would be quite fun, even if it's something completely unrelated. It'd be interesting to see them do like a road trip thing or something like that. That would be quite entertaining. We'll have to see. I'm sure he'll go on and do something else. So yeah, Dominic Purcell is leaving Legends of Tomorrow, but will be around a bit in the 7th season as well. So that's all the news we've got for this week. Let's move on to some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week. We have Rush, which was a one-season show. It's one of the Fox big box of one-season shows they were given by Disney. This one stars Tom Ellis. So, if you can't quite wait for Lucifer to come back, it's Tom Ellis in the lead role as Dr. William P. Rush, who finds himself tending the wounds of LA's dark and seedy underbelly. He was a sort of former surgeon who got disbarred or this whatever it is, that medical license taken away. So he ends up being kind of this underground doctor. That stars Tom Ellis, cancelled after one season, so don't get too attached to it. But 22nd of April at 10 p.m. on Fox, that is, and that's called Rush. NCIS is back for the second half of season 18. That's on the 23rd of April on Fox at 9 p.m. That is back. Shadow and Bone, which is a much anticipated new series, that is coming to Netflix on the 23rd of April. It's based on the Grishaverse novel series, based on Shadow and Bone and Six of Crows. It's an adaptation of that. You know these books. I don't know these books at all, but you said it was quite good.
Yeah, I know the first book. It's quite good, and yeah, it's huge. So everyone's been looking at all those production photos and stuff.
Yeah.
And you can just see how much the various Netflix accounts are posting about it beforehand. So yeah, I think it's eagerly anticipated.
Yes, I think that one is. Hopefully it doesn't let people down, but I don't know the books at all, but I'm sure there will be comments one way or another when that comes out from fans of the novels. That's Shadow and Bone, 23rd of April on Netflix, that lands. Starstruck is a new comedy that's coming to BBC Three on the 25th of April. It's written, created, and starring Rose McPhail, who is a New Zealand comedian. It's about the awkward morning after the night before when she discovers the complications of accidentally sleeping with a film star. That's the sort of setup for it. She goes for a night out, ends up in bed with somebody who she then finds out is actually quite famous. That sounds like it could be quite a fun, interesting comedy, but that's coming coming to BBC Three on the 25th of April, that is. That's called Starstruck. And of course, the Oscars are coming this week as well. That's the 93rd Academy Awards. That will be on one of the Sky Cinema channels. Go and check which one, because I can't remember now. But 26th of April at midnight, that starts. So go and check that out. There'll be previews from midnight, and I think 1 o'clock in the morning the ceremony actually starts. So if you want to go and sit up and watch through the Academy Awards, I'm assuming they're doing a lot of stuff virtually again this year, but we'll see. So that's everything we have for this week. If people want to find more of your stuff, where can they find you?
They can find me running HollywoodNorthNews.net for all your Canadian based TV production news, trends and things like that. You can also find me over at the Hashtag Show, where at the moment I am doing weekly reviews, discussions about Invincible and a few other news stories around there.
Excellent. So go and check out Daryl over there. For other people, you can go and check out Bex on twitch.tv/TwisterBytes. That's BYTES for streams, which he's doing daily and various evenings as well. Very, very funny. You can go and watch her just make an idiot of herself. She was doing a charity stream, I think, with Sonic and had bought herself a Sonic like headpiece and Sonic gloves and was apparently supposed to be trying to play Sonic whilst wearing Sonic hands. I'm not entirely sure how that went down, but that was the stream that she was doing most recently. So there's lots of stupid things that you can make her do forfeits and stuff for charity streams as well, which is highly entertaining and make her look like an idiot more than she already is. So that's twitch.tv/TristaBytes, BYTES. Go and check that out over there. And she's doing charity stuff. Go and donate for her as well. Matt, you can go and find that entertainmenttalk.org for lots more podcasts over there. We've just finished doing Walking Dead. He's doing Fear the Walking Dead, I think, over on there, and a bunch of other things. So go and check that out. For us, you can go to geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, at YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.